Our reading today is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 7th chapter, a portion of our Lord's Sermon on the Mount. We begin reading with the 15th verse, and Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Imagine for a moment that you are Satan. For some of us, that's pretty easy to do. Imagine for a moment that you are Satan, and you understand the gospel, as Satan does. You understand what the Bible teaches in its truth and purity about the way of salvation, the way to get to heaven. Now, as the devil, it is your goal to make sure that anybody who believes in Christ as the way of salvation would lose that faith so that could spend eternity with you if you're the devil. You understand very clearly the importance of the preaching of law and gospel, how people are shown their sin and their wickedness, and that they could never get to heaven on their own, but that God, through the work of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who took on human flesh in his incarnation, that God came down into this world to rescue us and to save us, to pay the great penalty and price for our sins. As the devil, you understand that the only way that someone can have that salvation in heaven is to believe in Christ and to put their trust entirely in him for their hope of getting to heaven. As the devil, you understand the importance of holy baptism, by which we are cleansed in that water and united with Christ. As Peter says, baptism now saves us. You understand the blessings of the Holy Sacrament, where Christ's body and blood come to us to feed us and nourish us in our faith and to continually bring us God's grace with the very body and blood of Christ. You understand that the Word of God and the hearing of the Word of God is so important to keep us alive in this faith. The devil understands all of this. He knows doctrine. He could teach dogmatics in our seminaries. He understands the truth. And he knows that you, by faith, which the Holy Spirit has worked in your heart, you, by faith, trusting in Christ as your Savior, loving his word and sacraments, is the very thing that will keep him from spending eternity with you. And so he has to figure out a way to get this away from you and to get you ultimately away from Christ. So, if you're the devil, you're asking yourself, how can I come up with a way to lead Christians away from Christ? Let's go to some of the imagery that our Lord uses in our text. Imagine that God's word and his word of truth, that way of salvation, is kind of like an orchard, a beautiful orchard of fruit trees. And every time that we hear that word of God, and every time that it brings us to repentance of our sins and causes us to again cling to Christ for our hope of getting to heaven, that's like eating in that orchard. That's like picking fruit off of God's trees of truth. Now, a fruit tree can look fantastic from the distance. It can look very good, just like the one that I have pictured on your little bulletin for today. The fruit itself can appear to be very good. But it's not until you pick the fruit, examine it closely, maybe then you won't even see it, but you begin to eat it and to taste it to see whether it is good or whether it is rotten, whether it will provide you with nourishment or whether it will not. The tree that I have pictured for you on that little piece of paper today is actually called the Seville orange tree. It is sometimes called the bitter orange tree. Now, the fruit on there looks pretty good. Looks like it would be helpful to you to eat it and nourishing for you. But it actually contains something called senophin, which has the potential to kill some people. The devil is very wise. He knows how believers in Christ like to walk through the orchard of God's grace and His word and sacraments, and to eat and nourish their faith with the goodness that He provides in that orchard of His kingdom. And so He knows that in order to get you to eat something that can harm you, it has to be in that orchard. It has to appear to be one of those trees. It has to look close enough to the real, authentic thing, and to get you to go up and want to eat from it, maybe even have it look better than the trees God has in His orchard. But it has to appear spiritually healthy for you to want to have you go up and eat it. And so the devil doesn't come to Christians and tempt us with trying to follow the Quran. Yeah, that can be a temptation, possibly. He doesn't come to Christians and try to tempt them to go after Hinduism or to become atheists. All of those things can happen, but that's really not the way that he primarily steals the faith away from believers. He primarily does it through Christianity, what appears to be Christianity. He primarily does it through the church, inside the walls of the church, inside of God's vineyard. And he plants trees in that same vineyard of the visible church where the fruits that we pick are not quite right. But in order to deceive a Christian to follow and to eat something that is not correct, it has to appear to be something he or she would want to eat. It has to appear healthy. It has to appear nutritious. It has to appear beneficial to us. And so the devil has learned to come up with using Scripture itself and the doctrines of Scripture, but just twist them a little bit out of their order that they were intended to be taught in order to misguide. This is exactly what he did to our Lord himself. He came to Jesus when he tempted him with the Bible, remember? He tempted him with the Word of God, Christ's own Word, in fact. But he just used it a little bit out of context, a little bit out of place, and in so doing, hoped to mislead our Lord, who thankfully was not misled. Saint Augustine once said, "Wherever the Holy Spirit builds a church, the devil erects a chapel right next door." Now, Satan may not be able to lead you away from God's grace in Christ, but maybe he can inject just enough poison into how you do things so that future generations might be led away. Maybe your children or your grandchildren. Our Lord Jesus warns us that the threat of false teaching is not going to come so much from outside the church as it is from inside the church. Wolves in sheep's clothing, who appear to profess and claim Christ as their Savior. It's kind of ironic in this chapter 7 of Matthew, which records the final section of our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, that the opening words in this chapter are, "Judge not, do not judge people." But isn't that exactly what we're doing here? We're judging. God teaches us two different forms or types of judging. There is the sinful type of judging when we do it in a way to elevate ourselves and to act as though we're better than other people. God forbid that that not be the case. But the judging that Jesus is here commanding regarding doctrine is essential for every Christian to do. To know God's truth well enough to be able to judge and discern, is what I'm learning and hearing from my pastor and from my congregation and my church body, or this book I'm reading, or this thing I'm watching, or whatever it is it in line entirely with the will and the Word of God? If not, even if a little bit of it is dangerous and poisonous, that will harm. False doctrine will never help a single person. It may look good, it may be attractive, but it will never, ever, ever benefit a Christian to absorb any false doctrine. It can only do damage. And that's why even in the New Testament era, when the Holy Spirit had all of the 27 books of the New Testament written down, every single one of them, if you look, contains at least one passage of warning about false doctrine. God would not have you put your trust in your pastor. Don't trust your pastor. Don't trust your chaplain on this campus. Don't trust your congregation. Don't trust your church body. Place your trust in Christ and in his word of truth and in the confession of that truth. Now, if that confession of God's truth just so happens to come from the mouth of your pastor or your chaplain or your congregation or your church body, great. That's fine. But your trust ultimately should be in Christ and his word and in the confession of that truth. Sad to say, a day will come when this institution and all that it stands for today will start to lose God's truth. History has proven that that will be the case. The only question for us to ask ourselves is this: will it take place during our time of stewardship? When we live under the false assumption that we will always possess God's truth just because we are who we are, that's when we are the most vulnerable to lose it. May we continue to study this precious teaching and hold on to the wonderful hope of salvation that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord, and make sure to pass it on faithfully to the next generation, which is really what this place is all about. May we always pray with Luther, Lord, keep us steadfast in thy word. Amen.